And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report, coming to you live from our radio and television studios located here in northwest Pennsylvania, where it's blustery cold, as is the nation. Folks, we broadcast live every weeknight, Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. Spent last night with Dave Hodges, the first hour on the Common Sense Show. Had a good time there. We simulcast on BTR. We broadcast, of course, on the Global Star Radio Network, as I mentioned, BTR as well. And you can watch us live and by archive on YouTube as well. Links to each audio and video broadcasting venue can be found at our home base, Hagman and Hagman.com. Of course, we have another website, HagmanReport.com, there for the news, information, analysis. We're making some changes. By the way, good news, we're going to be up running video this week. There's some changing while we had the downtime, because we had one of our hard drives fried, basically. I mean, it's fried. We're going to be back up in full force in Wednesday. I said today, Eric transferred a terabyte of information just today, or a terabyte of video stuff. I don't know exactly know what it was, but it was big. So there it is, you know. So we're going to be coming back a lot stronger as well, a lot more fortified, I should say. We got a special program for you lined up in hours 2 and 3. You're not going to believe this. Oh, I'm sure, man. Maybe you will. Abraham Bolden. He. If you've never heard the name before, I'm sure many haven't. He was the first African-American Secret Service agent serving the Presidential Protection Detail for JFK. So, yeah, it makes him a little on the older side. But he's articulate, he is right on the money, and he is just a marvelous guy. He wrote a book, a tremendous book, actually. I've read The Echo from Dealey Plaza. I would. It's a fascinating read. It really is. It gets into. No, he was not. He was not there. This is not going to be a JFK assassination show, so to speak. It's going to be about his experiences as a Secret Service agent, but also he was sent to prison. Can you believe that? He was sent to. Well, of course you can. He's got an interesting story to tell, and my question is, if we look at the past, are the plans for the future perhaps interwoven in past events? I suspect they are. You look at the assassination of Kennedy, and how many times have you as listeners or viewers and thought, gee, I wonder, could that happen to Trump perhaps, or, you know, what's the deal? And we've seen a lot of things happen with Secret Service agents, even under Obama, but all of that said, Abraham Bolden has got a tremendous story to tell. He's going to get into the Chicago plot, information that is rarely talked about in relation to the JFK assassination. And the reason this is relevant to what's going on today, we have to be thinking in three dimensions. While Mr. Bolden will bring information and inspiration, he'll also bring a piece of the past with him. He is a piece of the past, actually, an important piece of the past. But that said, use it as a tool to assess what's taking place today. You know, yesterday, how many people know this? The FBI quietly, oh, ever so quietly, released nearly 300 pages of records from its investigation of Hillary Clinton's private email server on Sunday. Now, the Daily Caller, Chuck Ross, reported on this. It's a fifth release of Clinton investigation records from the FBI. The documents deal with the handling of computer hardware. Now, this is computer hardware that was collected from the lawyers for the investigation and also contained emails from FBI officials discussing the classification of Clinton's emails. This is extremely important news. Now, we know that the FBI previously released notes from interviews it conducted during its investigation of Clinton's handling of classified information. Comey declined charges, if you remember from that July press conference. The emails included in the documents that were released yesterday are from the months prior to the formal opening of the Clinton email probe that was on July 10th of 2015. It's interesting. Well, it's interesting because the email exchanges show disagreements between the FBI and the Department of State over whether some of Clinton's personal emails should be classified. Think about that for a second. Really? Before going further, portion of tonight's broadcast brought to you by Elite Island Resorts. Boy, are they having a special. You look outside, is it cold? Of course it's cold. Do you want to get away? Leave the cold weather behind and relax in the Caribbean? Of course you do. I do. Pick me. Well, later you're going to hear about a tremendous offer from PineappleBeachClub.com. That's PineappleBeachClub.com. An amazing offer. An amazing offer. PineappleBeachClub.com. But that said, as we look at what's going on with the Clinton emails, you know, it's amazing to see so many people saying, oh, there's no there. There's no story there. There's no scandal there. There's nothing there. Well, in one April email, this according to Chuck Ross, Daily Caller, dated April 27, 2015, an FBI official wrote to other officials that they were about to get drug into an issue on classification of Clinton's emails. Now, the release of the records, the names were redacted here. But the official said that the State Department was, quote, forum shopping. In other words, seeking a favorable opinion on the classification issue by asking different officials to rate emails as unclassified. You've heard of doctor shopping, right? Well, no, this is forum shopping. This is, can you take a look at this? And yeah, it's not worthy of classification, right? Another email traffic provides additional light on a controversy surrounding the State Department. The Undersecretary for Management, Patrick Kennedy, in a request he made back in 2015 that the FBI reduces classification of a Clinton email related to the September 11th, 2012 attacks in Benghazi. Wait a minute. There weren't supposed to be any emails. I thought, Bill, didn't you think Hillary turned over all of her emails? That's what I thought. I believed her. She said it. I believed it. And you know, Jimmy Fallon and all of the late night comedians, and certainly every woman from The View feels, obviously it's a witch hunt, for crying out loud. Well, I think we found the witch. The Investigation notes released by the FBI in October showed that an FBI official said during an interview as part of the email probe that Kennedy, Patrick Kennedy now, asked him and others at the FBI to relax the classifications on some emails. In other words, take a look. Come on, guys. It's just us. Now, the new FBI release, and this is quite interesting. It contains a May 21st, 2015 email. So then we're going back 2 years almost, in which Michael Steinbach, the FBI's assistant director of the counterterrorism division, outlined a specific conversation he had with Patrick Kennedy just about classification. They knew they were in trouble. Steinbach said that the FBI had determined that one of the Clinton emails should be classified using B1 and B7 redactions, which they're used to protect information in the interest of national defense and to prevent the disclosure of a confidential source. B1, B, parentheses 1, that's used to protect information in the interest of national defense. And then B, parentheses 7, that's used to prevent the disclosure of a confidential source. All right. Kennedy, what Kennedy did was he asked the Steinbach, the FBI contact, to classify the email only, but using only the B1 category, the national defense. An email sent 2 days before that from a separate FBI official provided additional insight. You see, that official, whose name is redacted, wrote that the Clinton email was redacted and classified on the rationale that it contained information that would interfere with foreign relations. Sure, certainly sounds like yoga emails to me, right? Recipes. Nothing to see here, folks. Move right along. Ay. Can you believe this? With the email, well, I mean, this goes on and on. So, the FBI, and I find this specifically interesting because remember the server situation. Remember Brian Pagliano. Now, Pagliano was granted immunity. The FBI release also includes an email from the attorney of Brian Pagliano, the Hillary Clinton State Department aide, who's, he's the guy that set up and managed the secret email server. In that particular email, Mark McDougall, Pagliano's lawyer, informed the FBI that Pagliano would decline the Bureau's request for an investigation. Okay, just imagine you or me. No, it's all right, guys. You get a couple of feds knocking on your door. We're here to investigate. No, I'm sorry, I decline that. No, it's all right. I decline. I don't want to be investigated. So, I will respectfully decline the Bureau's request for an investigation. Yeah, you get dragged through the screen door. Okay. Again, you know, the Golden Gob Award or Globe Awards or Goober Awards, whatever they are, last night. All the tears flying. Oh. Really? You know, over the departure of the Obamas from the White House. Oh my God, they're leaving us. And of course, that same sentiment with Hillary deserved to be president. She deserved it. They just, what did they do? What did the American people do? You see, these emails, the ones that don't exist, the ones that don't exist, that were fully turned over, yeah, they were about Benghazi. And you can read, you can go to the Daily Caller, it's relatively interesting, and it's it's gaining traction because really, if there was ever a time and ever a person that needs to be, that needs to be investigated, of course, is Hillary Clinton. And how do you folks feel about, you know, a presidential pardon? I don't know this with any degree of precision. I don't have an inside source telling me this, but I don't believe that, I could be wrong, but I don't believe that Obama is going to pardon Clinton on his way out the door. And I think that this has to do with the strategy. I think Trump has been silent on this, and I think that's got a lot to do with the strategy, his strategy, knowing that a pardon could be forthcoming. And then if it was, would Hillary Clinton accept it? Here's what my senses tell me. She would doggone right accept it in a heartbeat. Optics be damned. She'd accept it. But, you know, when you look at the timing of this release, and this is something that the media, look, you've got control over this. The media has control over the release of this during a football game. What was the Giants, right? And of course, during the Golden Globes. Releasing this on a Sunday night, it is partisan politics. It's immature. It's unprofessional. It confirms, at least in my view, that the FBI is indeed political, is indeed an element, an operation of the government, as opposed to an independent investigative force at the highest levels. I'm not talking about the agents that are, you know, working hard and putting, doing their job. But, and again, this hidden email release, it's big news, or should be big news. The FBI documents that Hillary's server and the servers she communicated with were indeed vulnerable, likely hacked by foreign governments. And it's, she's to blame. And she lied about all of this during the campaign. So we need to take a look at this. Really carefully. We need to look at the entirety of the Clintonian crime family. So here's what we need to do. We need, anytime that there's, okay, there's a, let's say there's a big sporting event on television or a big awards show, what we need to do is we need to go immediately to our computers and watch the release of information. Because, you know, Super Bowl Sunday, man, I wonder what they're going to dump then. The information that she had on her hard drives, the hard drive is just amazing. And I will say this, the investigation about the 650,000 emails that the server, the Huma Abedin factor, the Anthony Weiner factor, that's not done. Okay, I can tell you with every degree of certainty that there exists out there multiple, and I mean multiple, copies of those emails on hard drives, or shall I say, devices that are capable of storing those emails. And this comes from a source, a good source, a source close to the individuals who had custody or access and custody of the hardware. These people are not playing around. They've got the emails, copies of the emails. It's my understanding, just from the information I'm getting from my sources, they're waiting to see what the Trump Justice Department will do, what they intend to do. So all of this, when you consider the emails, that it just released yesterday. The fact that none of the major media sources, the New York Times, the Washington Post, there's no one linking, no one talking about this. And that should be a story by itself. I do believe. So, I'm just telling you right now, I believe that the lack of the reporting is, in fact, a news story by itself. Folks, I want to thank you, by the way, for your patience. As we're regrouping here from our outage from, I guess it was now about 9 days ago. So we will be back. We'll be back tomorrow. Steve Quayle is going to be on the course in Stan Dale. But we'll be back up Wednesday. We had the option of going up today on video, and I thought, let's not do it. Let's just do it right. So if you're looking at this YouTube, if you're looking at this, at the YouTube and saying, well, where are they? Well, we'll be back up, but we want to do it right. But that's about, I know it's, and I want to thank everyone who has helped us out too. It was an expensive repair. Believe it or not, something like this, it runs about $10,000 to repair. Just to give you an idea. Mailing questions again. How many mortgages can you get on one piece of property? But I just want to thank everyone for your support, whether it's a prayer or, and it was great. Thank you so much, everyone who's helped us financially to keep us on the air. And that's the other thing too. And I've been hearing from people who are watching events unfold in the landscape. People like Greg Jackson and others. David Seaman did a YouTube video not too long ago about his PayPal assets or his PayPal being frozen. And of course, Tara from Reality Calls, Brittany Pettibone and others. Those people in journalists, citizen independent journalists who were using functions like PayPal to support their research, their funding is getting cut off. And that's important. It really is important that we understand that. Greg, I want to say thank you so much. Yeah, David Seaman has talked about it. And we've seen our own personnel. We have seen some bumps in the road with respect to PayPal and others, another method. So just understand, we are in the fight of our lives. We're talking about, we are fighting this moniker titled fake news. And we have been obviously accused of peddling fake news and peddling fear porn and all this. And I think we're pretty measured in our analysis of the news. I really do. I think that we're right there. We're providing enough information out there, enough analysis that you're not getting by the mainstream media. And we're not doing it in a hair and fire kind of way. But when you see citizen journalists like Brittany Pettibone and like, all the Pettibone sisters being attacked online and having their sources of funding, tinkered with, and David Seaman, same thing, independent journalist, having his sources of funding cut off. And you see that this censorship by asymmetrical warfare. And you see that the people getting really, really hammered because they're reporting the truth. A couple things spring to mind. Number one, that the mainstream media is really becoming more and more irrelevant. And number two, the globalist powers, the powers that control the corporate side of things, they're very, not just desperate, but they're also extremely, desperate, but they're extremely vicious in going after people. So that's why every time I hit my knees at night and in the morning, I thank each and every one of you. I thank you for listening and I thank you for your support. We all do here. because this is no longer a game. It never was, but I guess that's pretty poor assessment of things. This is no longer just a minor trivial, you know, harassment kind of thing. This is going after your livelihood. And here's the thing that you know, people should know. There are people who, just out of revenge, for example, file complaints with different agencies, state, federal agencies, whatever. And most agencies can see through this, you know. When they get five or six complaints that are unrelated, if some state agency does. Think of it like this. Think of your ex-wife calling the IRS, or that's really not a, your ex-wife might know something. You know, you're somebody that you hacked off calling the IRS and saying, hey, this guy's cheating on his taxes. I mean, all of this is happening with the citizen journalists, against the citizen journalists. This is not, again, it's being ramped up. Institutions, state, federal, local, they're being weaponized by our enemies. And this is what we have to fight with every day, every day, every day, every day. So we want to thank you for sticking by us. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman Report. Oh, we're going to be right back. You stay right where you're at. Don't forget, check HagmanReport.com and Hagman & Hagman for show information. More on the other side. Stay with us. Edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. You know, again, I want to thank everyone for your belief and your support in us, with us, for us. Thank you so much for your financial support. If you're supporting us financially, we cannot thank you enough. You know, 4 or 5 years ago when we first started this, I had no idea the cost, but man, it's expensive to do research and to bring news. So thank you, from the bottom of our hearts. And even if it's just a prayer, thank you for that, or a kind word on a note on the back of a napkin. It doesn't matter. Thank you. We really appreciate all of that. We really do. You know, I'd mentioned earlier about the cold weather, elite island resorts. Let me tell you something here. I looked out the window, and this morning when I was getting up, it was way dark, you know, 4:30, and boy, the snow was just whipping around, and I know that's the way it is for the most of the country. It's cold. My goodness, 11 degrees. Would you like to start your new year relaxing on the beach instead of just going through January, for example, working? Hey, this is a new year. It's a new you. You can treat yourself to a refreshing tropical getaway. Well, I found this amazing getaway at an even more amazing price. The Pineapple Beach Club in Antigua. Now, for just $149 per person per night plus a $250 resort credit, you can enjoy an adults only. That means 16 and up, okay? All-inclusive getaway on a white sandy beach. Go to pineapplebeachclub.com to make your reservation today. And just let me tell you really quickly a little bit more about the resort and about the island. All-inclusive meals and snacks and beverages. Yes, even a glass of wine at dinner, the alcohol that is. Water sports, daily entertainment. It's all-inclusive. It includes all taxes and gratuity. No hidden fees anywhere. They've got 5 restaurants, 3 lounges. They've got 2 freshwater pools. I can go on and on. And you know that credit I referenced, the $250 credit? It can be used for sailing trips or, hey, how about some romantic dining? Gift shop, safari tour, spa services, you name it. What a fantastic deal. So, are you ready to leave the frosty weather behind and get some well-deserved R&R? Don't wait. This offer does expire soon. Go to pineapplebeachclub.com or call 800-772-8711 to book your all-inclusive stay. Again, for $149 per night per person, ages 16 and up. You cannot beat that price. You can enjoy everything I just mentioned and more, and you'll get a $250 resort credit. That's pineapplebeachclub.com. See the website for complete details. pineapplebeachclub.com. You know, as and especially when we think about, we have really more winter ahead of us and frosty weather. So I definitely, man, I'd be out there with my, if I had the time, you know, with sand between my little tootsies there, right? Now, this is interesting. As we move along, some other things that were not covered, and I think that need to be covered. We are facing war with Russia. Now, I was talking to Dave Hodges about this before. But you remember the murder of the Russian diplomat, the Russian ambassador in Turkey, right? The shooting death. That was right there. The shooting death of the Russian ambassador to Turkey. Well, we have another diplomat dead. Top Russian diplomat Andrei Malinin was found dead in his Athens home just weeks after the previous assassination I referenced. He was found by embassy staff on the floor of his bedroom, 54 years old. Not sure why he died. This is pretty interesting. Again, this comes in the wake of the assassination of Andrei Karlov, who was shot dead by a Turkish policeman while giving a speech last month at the art gallery. Well, quickly, the Athens police said, wait a minute, there's no real evidence here of violent injury, and hence, I don't think he was murdered. We don't know why he died. 54 years old. A police spokesman did say at first sight we're talking about natural causes, perhaps. But it's interesting, I feel, that you're looking at these diplomats turning up dead. We are engaged in asymmetrical warfare. And we are, in my view anyway, when you look at what's taking place with respect to the troop movements, okay, in NATO troop movements, for example, if you look at the geopolitical picture for a moment, and look at what's taking place with respect to the movements that are taking place near Poland, some of the NATO troops and special forces kind of moving closer. In fact, moving more. There's more troop movements now that threaten Russia that in any time recent in the Cold War. So there's something taking place behind the scenes here. And I've had many, many, many people ask me, you know, are we headed for war? Are we headed for war with Russia? Could this be something that's going to happen in advance of Trump's inauguration? I really don't think that's the case. Here's what I think is taking place. I believe that what's happening here is that there's a deliberate increase between the United States and NATO countries and Russia. I believe that one of the huge things that's taking place, of course, the troop movements are the economic, there's an economic war taking place, and a lot of people aren't focused on that either. They're looking at just the obvious, the troop movements, and yes, that's important. The troop movements are important, But what about, you know, what about the economic fights, the wars that we're looking at? The economy. I truly believe that we have, that we are looking at an energy war. We're looking at an economic war. And what's the best way to bring down the United States? Not militarily. I don't agree at all. I agree that it's going to be through an economic disaster and perhaps the collateral effect from perhaps a war with Russia. So that's kind of what I'm looking at here geopolitically, but I think it's going to be dumped on, and I think I think it's going to be blamed on Trump. Whatever happens, I think Trump is being set up for a fall, whether it's economic or whether it's geopolitical. It doesn't matter, whatever it is. And they're all, you know, it was interesting as well. I happened to see a couple of political postings about the 25th Amendment where some college university professors are saying that Trump is mentally unfit. And they cited, it's interesting because I watched one video where there was three citations of presidents who were unfit during their term as president. Franklin Pierce, who lost an 11-year-old son between the time he was elected and right before his inauguration. It rendered him, I mean, just useless. Coolidge, who lost a 16-year-old son to blood poisoning and sepsis. And, of course, Abraham Lincoln. The three named by at least one professor were said to be failures or incapable under the 25th Amendment of succession, that is, and should have been replaced. The academia out there is attempting to make the argument that Trump is not mentally fit. Just so you know, as if you don't know already. I was townhall.com, an interesting place. There's an author writing for townhall.com, Kurt. I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name. Schlichter, perhaps? Anyway, he wrote about against the tyranny of so-called experts. This kind of reminded me those professors, the people in academia talking about the mental impairment of or the unfit nature of Trump reminded me of this article where it appeared on Town Hall stating that America's elite, that collection of these, well, the people who really command the highest aspects of our politics, our culture, they're in crisis. Now, he writes this, and I'm going to quote this exactly, okay? America's elite, that collection of puffed-up, mediocre individuals who recently held the undisputed command of the height of our politics and culture is in crisis. Its unbroken track record of failure has finally stirred the rest of America from its coma. The normals are now awake. That's us. The elitists are being rejected. Now, they're unused to this accountability. So they're in a tizzy over the way people are not only blaming the failures, but they're taking steps. The people are taking steps, concrete, absolute steps to restrict their power. It not just by electing Donald Trump. It's ignoring the media, ignoring Hollywood, ignoring the cabal of experts who presume to tell us how to live and how to think and how to work and how to dress and how to do everything. And it's about time. It's a great article, by the way, but this does put things in perspective, I believe. And it's kind of humorous, too, because the author does write that the best thing about being a member of the elite is that you really don't have to do anything to become one. You can be born one no matter how dumb or drug-addled you are. If you're a candidate, you're elite regardless of how many times you blow the bar exam. Woo. Or you can become one by getting in the right school. Remember, a Harvard degree does not mean you did well at Harvard. Everyone at Harvard does well, where A's are participation trophies. And isn't that the truth? It's just getting in that matters, and it's that club. That's the Ivy League club. Now, you see, this, now, he gets into the heart of what I was saying earlier. The elites, having been called out for their failures, are now trying to rebrand themselves as experts. And that's exactly what is taking place. Experts in news. And I must tell you that I do believe that the issue of fake news today, that is going to be so critical in 2017. That's going to be a huge story. That the quote unquote fake news and how the corporate sellout media handles fake news, what's determined to be fake news, to me, is going to set the stage, arrange the game board, arrange the playing field for which everything else can be conducted, whether it be war or economic collapse. So when I'm asked, for example, what will be the story of 2017, it's not the obvious, it's not the covert fighting, we'll say, or, hey, who knows, a civil war, a war, invasion, bombs blowing up, Israel, you know, being invaded or bombed. It's not all of that, but it is all of that. It's more. It's the undergirding of all of that. And what undergirds all of that? It's the fake news operational characterizations. So, when someone says, oh, that's fake news, you know, I've got to look at that, and I've got to say, wait a minute, why are they saying that? I mean, I'm not talking about things from The Onion, of course, you know, the satirical stuff. If someone points to an article that talks about, like we talked about last week, like Pizzagate, we'll use Pizzagate for an example. Oh, it's fake news. And my goodness, we know that fake news can hurt people. It's serious. Innocent people are being harmed. Just take a look at what Pizzagate. My goodness. Okay, that is the platform, in my view, on which all of this will be constructed. So, if, for example, there is a war or an economic collapse. And when I say an economic collapse, it doesn't have to be a total lights out, that's it, game over. You know, I'm talking about bank failures here and there, and inability to take money out of an ATM for extended periods of time, bank holidays. For example, citizen journalists being denied access to funds via electronic means, PayPal, for example. All of this based on the platform of fake news. That's why it's so important to me. And I think people really, in my view anyway, people need to understand those people who are crying the loudest about, in quotation mark, fake news are the people perhaps responsible for or facilitating the covering up of the real news. There's different motives there as well, some for profit, some for personal gain and recognition. But that, folks, I believe. So I hope you understand the reason why I put so much emphasis on fake news. And don't forget about what Andrew Kerr said. We were talking about the the NDAA and the propaganda on page 547 of the NDAA, where now the government can actually funnel propaganda to its citizens. You see, the purveyors of the characterization of, quote, fake news conveniently don't talk about things like that. They omit things like that. But again, all of this that we're referring to, and I don't really think that we can, at this point in time in our history, I don't think we can look at any single event as isolated. That's not to say everything is related, but I think it would be more, from an investigative point of view, I think it would be better to look at the entire field of play, the entire arena, the entire venue, and then to take events, and if they're unrelated, you can kind of push them by the wayside. But there is a cabal at the very epicenter of the globalist elite power, people of power, that are attempting to change the narrative, the news narrative, or omit completely what's really taking place to our detriment. Meanwhile, claiming that the independent journalists are detrimental to the safety and security of the United States. That's exactly what the NDAA did. The new propaganda rules. This is exactly what's taking place. So they've got to prep the field, and they're doing it through this operational tactic. They're prepping the field. We've seen where the CIA, and just look at Operation Mockingbird. If you, and that's something, folks, you can go to and take a look at and understand. If you think, for example, the Operation Mockingbird ended with George H.W. Bush in any form, I'm sorry to tell you it didn't. And that's, it could be your homework assignment to look up Operation Mockingbird and the history behind it in the details. But it's important in our, it's important to our, and in our history. So this is what's really taking place. So the bottom line is the fact that that, and they go back to the article from and I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly, Kurt Schlichter from Town Hall again, where you've got now academia, well, the academia is kind of taking hold, shall we say, and telling us how to think. And this goes back to Bernays, and it's so interesting when you look back, and I know Paul McGuire talks about Bernays and such, and all of the propaganda that we've been subjected to over the years. But this, folks, to me, is huge. And don't forget, you know, for example, when we look at the threat, when we look at the crises, multiple crises going on in the Middle East, we look at ISIS, for example, the growth of ISIS. Well, obviously Obama, and it doesn't take, it really does not take you don't have to be a professor in geopolitical studies to understand that the policies of the West, including Obama at the tip of the spear, and Clinton, the State Department, and Kerry, as well as the Gang of Eight inside the Beltway, that includes both sides of the aisle, they founded, funded, and facilitated ISIS. And frankly, they lied about it. History. You know, It's interesting how, when you look at history, who writes history? Well, it's the victors who write history, or the people in power who write history. Obama had told CNN that the rise and expansion of the Islamic State was not on his intelligence radar. The legacy of Barack Obama aired recently on CNN. And Obama said that his administration underestimated the Islamic State terrorist group. The reason I bring this up, of course, is because of going back to what I mentioned earlier about the management of fake news. And this kind of segues nicely into the guest we have coming up. Because the entire, obviously, we know, we have learned, or should have learned from what happened to JFK. That we didn't get the true story then. We still don't have the true story now. But the template is there. Okay, now Abraham Bolden is not going to appear for the purposes of revealing what happened on November 22nd, 1963. That's not the case. No. But to talk about a segment that has been, back then it would have been labeled as fake news, it's relevant and it's a nice segue. Much like Obama, ISIS, Syria, the chaos in the Middle East, and much like the domestic situation. So we're going to get a great look into that, into what transpired. And not only was Abraham Bolden the first African-American Secret Service agent on the Presidential Protective Detail, when he went to blow the whistle about the Chicago plot, he was imprisoned. That's right. He spent a number of years in prison, federal prison, on a separately related matter. His book, The Echo from Dealey Plaza, tells the tale, so I'm excited to bring him on here shortly. I respect that, man. I got to give him a lot of respect. I mean, I really do. I read his book. It's a fantastic book. And he's got more character than most people could ever think of having. Folks, go to HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com. John Roberson wrote an incredible story about the Jackie Robertson of the Secret Service. That being Abraham Bolden. Read that. It will give you great insight into tonight's guest. In fact, check HagmanReport.com frequently. Bookmark it, please. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel. And also follow us on social networking as well. And again, thank you so much for your belief and your trust in us. There's so much more that we are up against this year. Do not think that because Trump is in office, that it's going to be all good and fine. It ain't. We need to gird up, pray up, saddle for battle. Stay right where you're at.